Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Woo. Woo.
Bro.
I've been here for 12 years.
Stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dana Black.
Erase your mind.
A.K.A. Dusty Blackamora.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
A.K.A. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy.
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, gabba, gay, gabba, 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 gabba.
This girl, she is my...
You smell what the Rock is cooking.
What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, Wee Caliente wrestling reactions. Woo! Hey, everybody. I mean, God. I got so much to say. I have too much to say. We have arguably the biggest piece of wrestling news in wrestling history, certainly in cow wrestling history, in the cowverse. It seems to be happening. But hold off for a second on that. I'll let you guys know a couple things. This podcast is supported by you guys at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. If you listen to this podcast every week, consider throwing us a couple dollars. We are grassroots Bernie Sanders style. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. But we're never asking for handouts here. We have bonus content. Many would argue too much bonus content. This week, we have our AEW NXT-centric focused episodes on Friday morning with Nick Tullo, the Supermark. That'll be coming out Friday morning. We'll talk about AEW Dynamite. We'll talk about NXT Dynamite, whatever that show's called. Whenever those are on, no one knows when they're on, those are on anymore because sports bumping them, but I think they're both on Wednesday again. So we'll talk about that. Also, we have the Cal Movie Club every Monday night / Tuesday morning, except for pay-per-view weeks to come out later in the week. We talk about a movie with a professional wrestler in it. This week, we talked about an amazing movie, a movie that Aaron and I both loved, Warrior, a 2011 classic starring Kurt Angle in a non-speaking role, the best kind of Kurt Angle role, meant most people would agree. Okay, all right, Kurt. He's trying to enter. I'm not letting him in here. No, Kurt, it's been said. It's done. Okay, but the movie Warrior, honestly, it's on Prime Video right now. It's honestly one of my favorite movies. I fucking love this movie so much. I liked it even more on rewatch. A little spoiler. Watch the movie and then listen to me and Aaron dissect it to an unhealthy degree. Also, we have been talking on this podcast that if we said last week, if we got five more patrons, we would unleash... We would predatorially apex. I don't know. That didn't work. A RKO Randy Orton special. And we hit that marker. And so this week, I have an announcement for you guys. On Sunday, before Clash of Champions, the morning of Clash, okay? The RKO special will be released, and we'll be gonna, meaning we're going to be talking all... Actually, you know what? Jason Shapiro, the man who will be hosting this episode with me, let's just hear from him. He dropped us a couple lines because he was so pumped about this, about you guys supporting the podcast and unleashing this episode.
What's going on? This is a cash-in for the Cow Universe. Tis I, Jason Shapiro, returning triumphantly to the Comedians of Wrestling for this cash-in. This is not a question, but in fact, an answer. I'm going to bring you guys the answers you're looking for, because people have been saying, you know, on the streets where I get all my information. I am the Street Whisperer. I am the Kinkmaster. They've been saying, when are we going to figure out once and for all what the greatest RKOs of all time are, and how on earth can we determine which one is better than the other? There's no system in place. Well, me and your boy D Black, we sat down because this is the summer of Randy Orton. We all know it. Slither has launched. We can all strike in style. I've got an early access promo code, so I'll be rocking the gear before any of you fucks. But everyone's talking about the RKO. How do we determine the best one? Well, me and Donnie Capri, we sat down. I showed him my research. I have years and years of tape and notes. I spoke to scientists, movement experts, sports scientists. I've gotten the PhDs, and I've sort of developed a system here to rank the RKO definitively on three unique points. I'm not going to tell them to you guys right now. You're going to listen to the RKO episode to find out more. But I promise you, I've cracked the code on the RKO. I know how it works. I know how to determine the greatest ones of all time. And me and Dan will be sitting down to go through all of them for you, our dear listeners.
Cheers up. Shebs, as you heard it here first, guys, he got all the PhDs that he needed to get to be able to rank RKOs. We will be giving you the definitive list of RKOs and how to rank RKOs going forward. And just a lot of talk about Randy Orton. We'll be talking about his clothing line, Slither, that dropped this week, that I also have an early access code to that I'll be shopping at. Probably maybe a little bit during this pod while you guys are talking. I might be, maybe I'll look at the Randy Orton and Kim Orton apparel line.
Mm-hmm.
Adore that they work on this together. Very young bucks of them. anyway, so you get that. And then also, yeah, guys, so it was awesome. You guys were pretty excited for this episode. We'll put it out as a pre-show for the Clash of Champions. Going to be very, very, very fun. And then we'll see what we do. Well, maybe we'll hit another target, another bonus episode. I got another idea in the pike. So we'll talk about that later. All right. Another thing, on this podcast, if you rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and you tell me which a wrestler that has become one of your guys, I will congratulate you here on the podcast for having a new member of your guys. And we got 2 this week, one from Nick McCulloch, who said, love the show, listen on my long drives and walks. It's just as comforting as watching wrestling. One of my guys is my best friend, Jay Cross. He's an indie wrestler out of Janesville, Wisconsin. Check out JWA Janesville Wrestling Alliance on Facebook and support your local wrestlers. Hey, 5 stars. We'll give it to you. Hey, your friend. It's nice to support your friend. Make him one of your friends, one of your guys. I like that behavior. Keep it local. Why not? Beautiful. Also, a guy named Chillin' Dylan O'Connor, best wrestling podcast and my favorite podcast. Always looking forward to the next step. Hosts are always hilarious and have great takes on wrestling. Got to make a declaration early. Ricky Starks is one of my guys. Many people are saying Ricky Starks, the Rock before he went into the Captain America machine. So anyway, leave us 5 stars and let us know. Genuinely, I love it. It helps the podcast because of the algorithm, but I love hearing the wrestlers. You guys are, you know, become one of your guys. Congratulations to having wrestlers, adding them to your one of my guys list. All right, anyway, we're going to be getting into, I know all you're thinking, we're going to talk about Clash of Champions. And we're going to talk about getting into our predictions because, you know, we have a long-running merch prediction thread going. But, I mean, God, there's just such a headline that we have to get to. And if you're watching this video on the Zoom, which is on our YouTube channel, you can see that
Roman Reigns is always here.
I mean, just like Roman Reigns seems to be changing it up, I changed up the background of my Zoom calls. This is huge. I'm wearing the Roman Reigns vest. Roman Reigns. Okay. Oh, I didn't even introduce you guys. I'm so excited for this insane. This is the biggest news event in cow history. Okay. Okay. Breaking news. All right. I didn't even introduce, by the way, Erin Finnerty, First Lady, to my side, but not a thorn. What up? What up? What up? And here he is. He's a nasty, nasty boy, straight up from How About It City, Nasty Newman.
To How About It Island, and it's my How About It Island, and when you have this kind of power, you just show up and you podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard Newman has now decided to stop doing any prep for the podcast. He now just shows up and podcasts. He's inspired by Roman's new attitude. But listen, this is the biggest. This is a huge piece of news. This is breaking. This is breaking piece of news. Here it is. Fucking Roman Reigns on a Zoom call with a fan, reportedly, and I don't know if he was asked a question because I couldn't find this piece of tape. Is this piece of tape in existence?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Whoa. Okay, so
wait, stop. What flavor?
Oh, lime. Duh. I mean, yeah, obviously.
Okay,
I'm on a real lime kick. I'm really getting LaCroix back. And you remember when they heard LaCroix was in bad shape? No more. I'm forget back in business. It. Anyway, so it's reported on a Zoom call, he talking to a fan, which I believe WWE like has a thing where you can meet the wrestlers, like they kind of do like in-person signings on Zoom where like you get a wrestler for like 1 minute and then they're gone.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Doing that instead of like access, you can buy for I think like maybe $100 or $200 like a Zoom call with your fave superstars.
Right. So or it might be like a Make-A-Wish or something. I'm not exactly sure, but I heard they were going to do this, but then they haven't had any advertising for it during the show or anything. I haven't seen anything. But maybe it's because they're so caught up in we heard from Vince like 2 weeks ago that they're really concerned with getting people off of third party services or whatever, right? Getting these wrestlers off Cameo and shit. But anyway, so Roman had said that he will be wrestling going forward shirtless.
Wow.
Which is a fucking bombshell. And it is the question we were all asking for. Somehow he's been back and is already the champion, and we don't know what his wrestling gear is. And he's had matches. He's just been showing up and winning and just wearing the tiche. But Roman, a shirtless Roman. And I got to tell you, we've talked about this forever. And there are some caveats here, and there is more information. A shirtless Roman immediately changes the dynamic here. It's immediate. Now, a lot of damage has already been done, meaning he already has headlined like 5 manias in a vest while these other guys are starving themselves, getting tan, you know what I mean? And he's not rocking the vest. But so, okay, I just want to give you the full information before we have this full conversation. He also clarified that he will be keeping his pants. So
okay,
we're not gonna see undies, trunks, Roman.
Right.
All right. He wants to keep the pants. All right. But this probably does break any speculation, which we've talked about on this podcast and we heard before, that because of his leukemia, that he has some kind of scarring or something that he wouldn't take the shirt off. Right. We think it's fair to assume from this that it's just a being in shape situation, aesthetic situation. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Well, maybe.
He shared his shirtless pictures to his social media.
Right.
So, I looked. I didn't see any glaring scars or disfigurement.
Right. And he doesn't seem a guy who's like on feeding tubes. He's very healthy right now, you know. So, or anything like that. Now, music. He also said that he will be having a new song. It's confirmed. He will have new music. So we're getting this. We break it down. We got a full Roman Reigns with Heyman repackage. A lot has happened, and we have to really think about it, drink that in, especially me, who's been extremely critical of Roman. Where are we at? I'll let you guys go. Where? How are you guys feeling about all these changes? What does this do for you?
I can't wait for the WWE shop to have the the no vest, like for like $50, and it's just you get nothing in the mail. Like instead of buying the vest, it's just like
Emperor's new clothes.
Right? Yeah, it's Roman's new look, and it's just an empty fucking box with like a packing label.
They like Vince says to everyone, he's like, "All right, I'll let him take the vest off, but I still need that same revenue stream. So you guys need to buy. You need to buy nothing. I need you to buy these empty boxes."
Yeah. Right. No, I think it's awesome. I think that the pants, I think like baby steps, right? Like this is not even baby steps. This is a huge step. Get that, pop that top off, let them bangs dang. And then we can talk about maybe pushing for the trunks or, you know, the undie look.
Baby steps.
I am a little concerned about the music. I don't know what that's going to sound like. They don't have CFOs anymore. So automatically it's going to be,
breaking news here. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
I actually have a preview of his new music.
Oh, interesting. Let's hear it.
Here it is. That's it. He's going to come out with Grandmaster Sexay, Scotty Too Hotty, and he's going to wear Oakley's, and he's going to dance back to the side. His Uncle Rikishi's going to come out.
I mean, you're probably not too far off.
What do you think? No, actually, I forgot. Sorry, I played the wrong track. Sorry, guys, I played the wrong one. That wasn't even it. No. It's almost the same, but it's this one. It starts off. I'm pressing play now. I'm pressing play now. Ooh,
okay, yeah. It's the same thing, but with the ooh ah.
Yeah, that's it. What do you guys think? What do you think?
I think it sounds great.
Wait, actually, I'm so sorry, guys. I played the wrong track.
Second time on.
You know, most of the time when people play like the wrong song or something, it's like immediately evident. But I'm noticing that it's like taking a couple seconds here to realize that it's the wrong.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. The wrong song. I'm sorry. Here it is. I guess. All right. Ooh ah. Ooh ah.
Right. Okay.
That's it. What do you guys think? What do you think?
That's great.
And then it goes into this.
Right. They're doing like when it's like two wrestlers that have joined up, but they're not a tag team yet, and it like cuts off and plays the other music.
Yeah. That's what he's going to do. What do you think? What do you guys think?
I mean, the last one sounded a lot like Becky Lynch's music.
Oh, shit.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Did you hit the wrong music for the fourth time? Comedy Fours, everybody.
Dude, I'm sorry. I played the wrong. I apologize. Okay, here it is, guys. Here's the new Roman song. I'm really sorry about that. Oh, my God. Sorry. This is embarrassing. Can we cut this? No?
Yeah.
We don't have a note, so it's not cuttable. Here it is. Here's Roman's new song. Ready?
You think you know me.
Wow. This is confirmed?
Yeah, it's confirmed. He took the You Think You Know Me. He liked it. He said, like I stole the Shield's music, I'm allowed to take other wrestlers' music.
It's like a remix, kind of.
It'd be a good gimmick,
a little original.
Yeah. This is what he's decided to do. What do you guys think? You guys don't seem that excited about it.
Yeah, I kind of like his old music better than, you know, this cacophony of other wrestlers' themes might get confusing.
I would agree. To be honest, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that it all remains to be seen. As we will get into, the WWE has a penchant for fucking up everything, and especially things that are already bad. So we'll see.
Yeah. Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I'm sorry, guys. I messed it up. This is actually Roman. This is actually it. This is actually Roman song.
Okay, this is the real one?
Yeah.
This is the real one for real?
Yeah, this is it. Ready? Okay. But listen to it in its entirety, okay?
Okay.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
And then it goes into this.
Welcome, everyone, to Raw Underground.
Yeah.
Where there are very little rules, lots of excitement, carnage, Sammy chaos.
And that's it. What do you guys think?
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one, too. Is Shane going to be, like, on the mic with him, or is that just part of the audio?
It's just part of the song, his, right?
That's unclear so far. He didn't speculate on the Zoom call because it was a kid who was dying of a terminal illness was on the call with Roman. He was asking him that exact question when the minute was up. Vince popped up and was like, "Insert another quarter, you little shit." And then he didn't have it. And so
What would you ask if you had a minute with Roman? What would you ask? 60 seconds.
Dude, I would more lecture him and be like, "Here's what you got to do." You know what I mean? Here's what you got to do. Actually, guys, this is frankly, this is honestly, this is frankly unprofessional. But I actually have the real Roman's music. This is what it is.
Okay.
This is breaking. This is break. Here it is. Here it is.
Whoa. Okay, this is the one.
Okay, this one's really it. This one's really it. What do you think?
Oh, God. It is, I mean, like, all jokes aside, so bad. This is so bad. On every level, this is bad. Like, the audio engineering is awful.
Horrible. I hate that. I like the Randy Orton one, but
oh God, just so, just like, hey, hey, hey.
All right. Jokes. All right. The joke's over.
So deeply offensive to me as a musician. On every level.
That's so bad. Yo,
it's not just the quality of like the voice, like obviously in a bathroom or something, like the acoustics are like obviously a bathroom. And then the bass is so forward in the mix that like literally everything else, it just disappears. Except for those vocals, which are like
those beautiful just vocals
piercing through them. Oh God, they should be ashamed of themselves. They recorded it on like a fucking potato or something.
Oh man, I love this podcast. What other wrestling podcast? It's so funny because I was listening to like Jim Cornette the other day, just like a clip of him like Kenny Omega, which we'll talk about later a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what people want in a wrestling podcast. They want a guy that like takes this shit that seriously to the point you're like, emotionally wounded. Like, let's have fun with wrestling. Like, we can take it seriously and have fun, like in equal parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, I hope we do.
Those are podcasts people want. All right. This is fucking.
I hope we do get into that because
devastatingly embarrassing.
Yeah,
that I actually found the real Roman music.
This is an example of the comedy sevens. It is a very little known principle of comedy.
You know the rule of 15s, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, ready? Here it is. Here it is. Here. This is the new. This is the Roman music. We're not going to comment on it. Let's just listen to it and let it be. You know what I mean?
Someone you idolize takes you under their wing from day one because they see something special in you. They help you to become something more.
That's Roman.
That's
just gonna come.
Really good.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I'm gonna play it just to troll Newman. You know why I have that track, by the way, for the 9 to 5 8 hour episode.
That's the only time I've ever heard that abomination.
I look like I really scour, you know, like always, do way too much work for this pod, and I scour the internet for all the covers of wrestling music that I can find, just to play throughout the episode. But anyway, we talked a little about the 9 to 5 this year. I don't know if we'll see if it'll happen. It'll be up to you guys, really.
But...
Yeah. It'll be up to you guys. You know what I mean? Can you incentivize us enough? We'll see. All right. Anyway. All right. So, Roman, here's the deal. This is extremely positive change. You know what I mean? Like, so let's, this is mostly a plus. Mostly a plus. I just want to say, if you're already going shirtless, isn't that the hard part is wearing pants? You really want to go shirtless to wear pants? Like, that I don't even get. Like, why would you, right? Like, how would that look better? Like, you're a pro wrestler, man. Like, put on the fucking trunks, right? There's no way his legs are embarrassing.
Braun Strowman route.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're already shirtless. That's, like, not even half the battle. It's, like, 85% of the battle. So I'm not saying, like, if he's wearing pants, it sucks. Like, I'm happy to have him shirtless or whatever. But, like, why not just wear trunks also? Like, put on the boots and look. Why not look like the centerpiece of this company? You know what I'm saying? Like, well, yeah. I don't understand.
Like, Drew McIntyre, like, if you take style.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Drew, Randy, but, like, also.
He's not going to wear, like, Shawn Michaels. This is what I'm saying. He's not going to wear, like, he's Shawn pants, like, you know, like, the tight pants, you know, like, for a smaller athletic guy, like a Seth, that we've proven that looks better for that type of physique. And also, right. It's, like, it sets, like, the precedent that, like, you're a more agile kind of wrestler. You're more of, like, a Ziggler. You're, like, more of it, you're smaller, but you're quicker. You're an athlete. So, it fits. We've set that precedent of type. But if you're him, you're a house. You know what I mean? So why not, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And you take, like, Otis by, like, comparison, right? Like, somebody like Otis who, like, is not in as, like, let's say, traditionally good shape as, like, Roman is, but has a little crop top, his belly's hanging out, he's in trunks. So, like, if Otis can pull it off, then why can't Roman?
It's just that thing with Roman. It's like he's always just, like, a little off the mark. No matter what he does, he just doesn't, like, fully get it or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and it sounds also, like, from what I was reading, this transcript that I was reading or whatever, that, like, he has control over what he wears.
Yeah.
Right? So, Vince isn't telling him keep the pants on. But we know Vince does have that level of control because we know it was a big deal. Dean wanted to take his shirt off, and Vince kept him in the John McClane outfit for a long time, you know? So I would say that it's just a little bit like, dude, we know you're going to look way better in trunks than shirtless with pants. You're not going to look like the fucking star that you are. Like, he's a 10 out of 10 looking guy. Like, he has the Rock's genetics. Like, go out there and fucking be all you can be, man. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm on your side, you know?
I think we'll get there. The shirt is so huge, and it's a paradigm shift that none of us ever thought would come. And so I think the trunks.
Yeah, you don't need to sneak all your Dean Ambrose references into this podcast, okay?
You know, I'm just saying that it's been a dirty deed to, like, get the shirt off, and now we have it. So
that's a fringe opinion. That's a lunatic fringe opinion.
That's true.
I'm trying to think of what that match he had with Jericho was called. What it was, like, the psycho cage match.
The Punjabi
Asylum match.
Oh, Asylum.
It's frustrating because I already watched Roman Reigns wrestle in front of a record-setting crowd of 101,000 people in, like, a fucking girdle. You know what I mean? And he wrestled Triple H, who was 55 years old, and, like, looking like a mill, like, realizing the power of what you look at. Now, look, you want to make we can make another argument, which is he got popped for taking Adderall. So, look, there is this wellness policy. Triple H is not.
Hell yeah, dude.
Clearly no one's testing Triple H. You know what I mean?
Right. So, well, I've always thought that, like, their wellness policy is, like, obviously tiered. Right, like no one's testing John Cena. No one's testing a certain level of performer.
Yeah, it's also it's not self-regulated. It's not real. You know
right?
I mean?
Yeah, USADA's not knocking down their door.
Yeah, and also, you think if Roman went to Vince and was like, "Look, I'm looking to fucking grab this brass ring. Like, don't be testing me." You think he's going to test him? You think Vince is like, no, Roman, I really care about your well-being.
Yeah, this is a legitimate operation.
Think about probably how fast they rushed it. He literally, like, when he said he didn't want to wrestle for COVID, it was reported that Vince was pretty pissed off. You know what I mean? Right. So, here's what I'm saying. This is a positive thing. And also, let's put this into perspective for you. These are huge men. Let's put this in perspective. Roman Reigns is with Paul Heyman. I said this on the Facebook group, this exact quote. It's like, he's with Paul Heyman. He's a heel. He's looking like a mill. He's going to come out shirtless. He's going to get new music. He's the champ. He's doing everything that we've asked from him. And Kenny Omega is wearing fucking dad shorts. Like, he's like the fucking, like, he's like, the dork dad who's like barbecuing in a Redcon 1 right. t-shirt on AEW. I mean, can you see how this switch is happening? Why would Kenny let Roman Reigns look cooler than him? What is happening?
Sin. That's a sin. That's crazy. And Kenny, who used to look, it's not like he never looked cool and he's being surpassed. Like, he used to look so cool.
Yeah, and Kenny's in great shape. Mm-hmm. And he has the style.
His hair is like on the mend.
Right.
All fried like it used to be.
No, his hair looks great. He's figured he's got the right product for the locks. Anyway, I think Roman Reigns is, whatever I could say about him that annoys me, he's working so much more than Kenny Omega, you know? So these are the two top guys, the top indie guy and the top WWE guy. And the WWE guy is getting it right and the other guy's not. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, Roman will be shirtless, hopefully on Sunday. And I guess if he's wearing baggy pants and he's shirtless, I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to give him shit for that. He should not be wearing baggy pants and shirtless. It doesn't make the it doesn't fit the character. It's like
The thing that struck me about that the official transcript of this of this conversation was that he kind of in the same breath was like, "Yeah, you know, shirtless but in pants." And you know, the idea is that we're going to go with like a mafia style angle or whatever. Yeah.
I didn't see he said that. I heard everyone. I saw everyone typing that. He said mafia.
What's the correlation between wearing no shirt and mafia?
Yeah. The only thing I associate with mafia is track suits and just suits. Right.
Right.
Oh, wait, let me see this quote. He said, Reigns plans on keeping – this is from Wrestling4K Instagram. I'll give him credit. Reigns confirmed this last night during a Zoom call with a fan. According to what was said on the call, Reigns plans on keeping the pants, but he will wrestle shirtless, and the idea is to establish a mafia-style storyline. He also said that there's a new theme music coming at some point. So, no, it's the storyline is mafia. So I think that this is just – the writing is just – it's kind of conflating these.
It's
a compound sentence.
Yeah. Got it.
But,
just the grammar. It's the grammar of whatever bottom feeder wrote that.
Yeah.
The Samoan mafia.
I think – yeah. So it sounds like Jay –
I'm into that.
Yeah. The Samoan mafia is
– something you'd like to see?
That is cool. –
Fun fact about I don't know if this is not a fact at all, by the way. So I don't know why I said fun fact. But little tidbit. I was on a website. I did a Google search the other day. The search exactly was – I'll look it up right now. Okay. I did what is The Rock on? That's what I Googled. Okay. And I clicked on this link, and in the link it said, like, it was talking about probably all the stuff The Rock takes. You know, the main thing, HGH, and it's, you know, based on his build and stuff and a couple of telltale signs, he's taking something anabolic, you know? So look, he's clearly juiced up. No big deal. Everyone knows The Rock's juicing. No one cares. And it, you know, is what it is. He doesn't pretend to not either. Okay. But it also said, don't discredit his Samoan genetics. That's what it said. It was like, it laid out, it was like being of the Samoan pedigree like his helps you, is extremely helpful at being huge. I don't know if that's
right. I think it's probably with The Rock specifically, it's probably,
I mean, because you see talking what his dad looks like.
That's what I was going to say. You know, the average your average run-of-the-mill Samoan whose dad isn't Rocky Johnson probably doesn't have the same advantages that The Rock does, because we're talking about an area of genetics called epigenetics, which is like the way that your ancestors lived and ate and survived informs like cross-generationally your genetics. There was a study that showed if your great-grandparents were didn't have a lot to eat, you were less likely then to develop diabetes. Whereas like if your great grandparents did have a lot to eat, you were more likely to develop diabetes. So stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that with Samoans, you would have to then be assuming that they're all related on some level. And then, so I think for him, it's more probably, you know, the Samoan aspect is one thing. There's bigger people, right, on average. And then, but his dad specifically, I think, is like the X factor here for the Rock.
Well, yeah, if you look at Rocky Johnson, right, like that's his dad's name, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at a picture of him, his dad is probably 260, like 6% body fat. Right. You know what I mean? Like he's like shredded, no fat. Like, so that you're talking about that being your dad, like think about what your, close your eyes, think about what your dad looks like. Actually, for most of my listeners, go to the living room and just healing off.
Look at your dad. Yeah.
Ask your dad. But look, I don't know. I don't think Pat F. looks like Rocky Johnson. I mean, I haven't really looked close to Pat F., but...
I mean, honestly, though, he is like a really big, bald, white. He's white. He's not Samoan.
Right.
But, you'd be surprised.
Oh, okay. All right. Wait. So, Pat F., 6% body fat.
Your dad's a natch. He's a natch bald?
At one time. He's a natch bald. Yeah, he cakes it. Oh, but, yeah. He's a natch bald.
Cakes it? Does that mean shaving your head? Cakes it?
Yeah, like where you like frost it with like shaving cream and then you kick it.
I love that.
Who would you learn this? Who said this to you?
I've grown up in a bald household. You have no idea.
Cakes it?
Yo, Erin, sometimes she drops all this like cool, these cool words sometimes. And you're like, wait, what? This expression's like cakes it? Because she is also from Philly. And
I'm from Detroit, actually. I live in Philly.
Yeah, that's not a Philly slang.
Big Kid Rock.
Cakes it is not Philly.
Big Eminem fan. Never heard of Kid Rock before.
Kid Rock, the new Bob Seger.
Do one of you guys have a smoke detector? Someone you idolize.
What?
I thought I heard a smoke detector going.
I heard that also. Mm. I mean, it's probably based on looking at these Zoom calls. It's probably my house, right?
This morning. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys, by the way, my new background, if you're watching the Zoom call, I got a map of the United States of America in the back.
Right.
Anyway,
California's beautiful.
So let's quickly move on, and then we'll get into retribution. But I want to talk a little bit about this Jim Cornette rant. And look, I hate to even I debate giving Jim Cornette any attention on this program. You know what I mean? Because he's such a fucking idiot. But he did. I'm curious. He went on this whole Kenny Omega rant, and good for him for the fact that this guy's just consistently able to get heat. You know. But he's also, you know, a true like scumbag. It just is what it is. He's accused of a lot of sexual violations as well, right? He did some weird booking shit with his wife, whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff. It's all allegations as far as I'm concerned, because what do I know? I haven't looked into it, whatever. Okay. All that being said, one of his listeners wrote him this, like, he was trying to explain Kenny Omega's gimmick to him. Did you hear any of this, Newman?
Yeah, listen to it. The whole thing, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't even think I heard the whole thing. I heard a lot of it, but it was like 20 minutes long. And
it's the same clip. The clip that you sent is the same clip three times in a row. So it's really only about 12 minutes.
So I probably heard most of it. I definitely listened to that one. And like, there's just two parts to this, because I want to open it up to like what, you know, I've been podcasting about wrestling for a while, and it's, you know, it matters to me. And the way people ingest wrestling, more importantly, matters to me. Like, I get frustrated. Like, we have this amazing form of art that is very fun, that also I feel like there's this middle ground that we all need to, like, adopt, that I really want to push, which is, like, yes, we could take it seriously, and we could be disappointed by certain aspects of wrestling. Certainly, we'll get into retribution. There's a lot to be disappointed by, right? And Vince's writing sometimes is just downright despicable. And yes, sometimes the indie scene is up its own ass, right? But like, why can't – I don't understand. It's almost the same thing as – if I equate this to comedy, it's almost the same thing as like when Nanette came out, right? Where people get so caught up in being like, that is not what that's not what stand-up comedy is, you know? And I'm like, I understand when you said something is not for you. Like, frankly, I put on Hannah Gatsby's last special, and I was like, yikes. Like, this is embarrassing, okay, in my opinion. So I'm not even saying I'm a fan of hers. But why is there no room for her one-woman-style comedy show that a lot of people like? Why is it that such an affront to you? Same thing as this. Like, Jim Cornette is shitting on Kenny Omega's, like, the fact that he wrestled a little kid, which, by the way, made him famous. And it's something people still talk about. Why is that such an affront to you for an artist to try something? Do you know what I'm saying? Why is it? Why does that affect you so much? And why do you think that that's going to kill the business? Like, why is it this thing where it's like, you think that one clip on the internet is going to destroy the concept of wrestling? We all know what it is still. Literally, the champion, Drew McIntyre, in the ring is like, I'm the champion of sports entertainment. They openly call it sports entertainment. So I don't understand this thing of like just being like, here's what wrestling is. And if you are that, I find that to be it's so frustrating. And I have another point with this, but Newman, I'll allow you to respond, or Eric, you know, whoever wants to go.
So Jim Cornette is a wrestling fundamentalist. The gist of what he's talking about is, so to Jim Cornette and to his co-host, you know, Jabroni McGee, I don't know who the guy is.
That's literally the words I was going to say. Jabroni McGee.
Jabroni McGee. I love his work.
Yeah.
Actually, that guy, I have a little clip of him, actually. I don't know who he is.
So we have to break this down into like, what are they talking about? They're talking about what they see as the, like, what actual professional wrestling is to them. And to them, the definition of that seems to be that it is when, you know, it's not legit, but the fight is presented to you in such a way that you suspend your disbelief and accept it as like a real fight. And in order to do that, they have some criteria that has to be met. And part of that criteria is that it can't be obviously staged. And to Jim Cornette, the something that is obviously staged is a blow-up doll wrestling somebody because it's not alive, right? Or a child wrestling a full-grown man, because in real life, that would be like over in a second, right? And so he has this fundamentalist attitude towards wrestling where it can only be this one thing, this like reductionist, like literalist point of view on wrestling. It is a dramatic presentation of a fake fight, and anything outside of that definition is aberrant and is a violation of the art form. This exists in I think every medium of art. You look at improv is the first thing I always think about. You have people who are like TJ and Dave, or like these very like the improv where it's like, oh, it's about this, how not serious, but how like sincere of a scene can you put on? And then the comedy comes from the truth. And then you have things like Ass Cat, where it's like just joke. And then you have things like different levels of just Herald teams at UCB, rest in peace. And you have like, you know, where it's like, oh, this team's a little jokier and smiley. This team's more committed, and people attach values to these different things. And but none of it's like, there's no rules.
It is every art form, because it's amazing. Comedy slots like perfectly right. This is exactly what my brain went also. It's like, there is stuff where you're like, it's not, people are like, it's not really good improv if it's not like a play, right? Like, it's not like that level of serious, right? And so, and you're like, yeah, but like, if you go watch what like Middleditch and Schwartz are doing, they have their own Netflix special and the crowd is dying of laughter. So what are you talking about? So there, as for a teaching tool, right? Like, if I'm running the NXT, right? Like, I'm Vince. If I'm running the NXT.
Very important.
The next.
I'm what's his name? Vince. Why am I blanking? Is it Vince Vaughn? I'm Vince Vaughn in Fighting with My Family. Like, if you're teaching, and I did teach improv, you know, if you're teaching something, then you have to be like, hey, we're doing it this way because for teaching, this is what we're studying. right? And I think there's a lot of value in being like, we're learning something a specific way. So this way you have control as a performer to know I'm not doing it that way when you veer off the track, which is something I've always been very clear on when I've taught. I've taught Newman. I'm always like, and you know, it was when I was teaching people who wanted to perform at a stage like Upright Citizen Brigade where I would do comedy. If you wanted to be doing improv in that style on that stage where they pay to keep the lights on and you perform there, then they're like, hey, they're going to require you to do it this way. So hate me for teaching it to you this way if you want, because it's frustrating to you and you want to do it your own way. But if you want to stay performing here, they're going to require it of you. So hate me all you want. Be upset with me all you want. It would happen. But I'm like, I just have to give you the note from that. So that being said, if you are if you were training at WWE and you're like, hey, look, I understand you want to do a spot, you want to chain spots together, Vince is going to watch this and be like, first off, this is too dangerous, and first off, this is not telling the story for television viewers. It doesn't read like a little auditorium. So you're like, oh, I understand that, because that's the rules of WWE. That's the company you work for. That's how it goes. But then when you're just someone like a Jim Cornette, you're me, you're a podcaster, you're someone watching, why can't you broaden your scope to be like, I have a preference, right?
Right.
I have a preference of how I like it, right? Because like, and also I like to watch all of it. I like to see it all, and I could see why somebody likes this. When you come at it from this place of like, it's anybody. It's why I have the RGN podcast that me and Aaron, we talk about politics, because I'm like, I'm always so shocked. Some people are so, here's what I believe in. You're not open to anything. I find that to be so crazy, and it's frustrating to me that this is what I guess wrestling podcast listeners want to hear, someone just talk right about why it's all bad and blah blah blah. You're telling me that in you can't appreciate that Osprey Ricochet match, the one that like everyone shit on? You can't appreciate two top level gymnasts bringing that kind of athleticism to the pro wrestling ring?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's if I try to like empathize with it, like it would be for me, like an area that it kind of feels familiar is, to go back to comedy, like sketch comedy, right? Like when I see things on like Instagram or something, and it's like people are calling it a sketch, and it's just like a 20 second clip of someone being like, oh, you know, when your girl walks in and she's got a fat ass, and everyone goes, oh, right? And it has fucking 65 million likes and people love it. But me personally, I'm like, this is not what this is like. And it's not, this is not sketch comedy, but I have to like analyze that and be like, it's not sketch comedy to me. It's working and people are laughing and funny wins, right? But like Jim Cornette is acting as though like if I were a chef, a sushi chef, and I was like, you know what, actually I make sushi by, the way I make sushi is I get like beef patties and I grill them and then I put them on buns and then you eat, that's my sushi. It's like, well, that's not, then you can be like, that's not sushi. That's something else. And so that's how he's acting, as though there is this one prescripted, this is what wrestling is. And if you do something else, then you're violating some like code that says it has to be this way. And that's where he like goes wrong, among many other areas. But it's like, it's if people are reacting, then it's working. It doesn't have to be like, oh, this is set up. And I mean, I get the idea that like it has to tell a story and it, like it draws people in and then it works, and it works on that level. But if you can,
he's also being wrong.
Right.
No, what I'm saying is like, I'm speaking to your point, is that like you're saying it's working. He said Kevin Owens was like too out of shape to be good and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, Kevin Owens is a big wrestling star. He sells like a shit ton of merch. I own like 5 or 6 Kevin Owens t-shirts. So like, you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. Like, so how many times can you be wrong? This is what I don't understand about people, you know, is that like, how many times can you just be wrong and then recklessly keep defending your point of view?
Infinitely.
And this is the thing you have to understand, is that like, that's, you know, something you have to open up to society, is that people with these loud opinions a lot of times their superpower is being so narcissistic that they'll always think they're right, and you have to break through that. You know what I mean? You
it's
have
pathological.
To. Right. Yeah. Because that'll, if you can't break through, if you are going to be someone who has the loudest opinion and the strongest opinion, you let them dictate, well, then you will become a follower. You know what I mean? You have to really break through that bullshit. So, okay, now that being said, on the flip side of it, this guy was describing Kenny Omega's gimmick, and it's not a gimmick. So I also did agree with him.
Right.
I also did agree with him. It was like on the flip side of it, I also thought he had some good points, which is like this guy was like trying to explain why he was like, well, what his gimmick is like in Japan being – and he basically was describing, he's like, he's a cosplayer, right? Like it's like, right. Hey, he does Street Fighter stuff. And you're like, that's not – right?
It's not even true, though. Like the way that he described the gimmick, it's like he's not an otaku weeabo. Like that's not what he. Yeah, and like Kenny Omega is that. Like the man Kenny Omega,
right,
is that thing. But like, that's just what you're reading into it. It's not. It's like how he flavors his style is by like sampling from video games and kind of the aesthetic and the move set because he thinks it's cool to do those moves in real life. But that's not ever been like he's never cut a promo. It was like, oh, I was reading this great manga the other day, and you know, it's like he's never done that.
When his gimmick in AEW is truly just nothing. It is truly nothing. Like he's not even trying.
Kenneth Omega.
He's a guy. His gimmick is a guy with hype, right? Like, and I think what he likes, and by the way, to his credit, and I do think he is working on this to a degree, is his gimmick is letting you down. So that when he turns it up, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'll tell you, if that's what he's doing, I'm getting worked because I'm starting to lack confidence in him being able to turn it up properly.
Right.
You know? I don't understand how you spent a year of your career with this budding company wearing the same pants with holes in them for a year and not making that like – not having a gimmick that like I'm a little homeless or something, right? Like
here's where I call bullshit. Canadian. I call bullshit on that idea that he's working us by like being shitty because that would require that requires a level of subtlety that not only doesn't work,
right?
Not to be a fundamentalist, but it doesn't really work in wrestling unless it's like intentional, and I don't think it's intentional that way. It also like doesn't. It's giving him a lot of credit, and I think this is reading into it. Like, oh, he's being low key so that when he turns it on, it's like really that much more impactful. No, I think he's just not. He's not doing anything.
No.
You're seeing something in the void.
I believe that these elite guys have a blind spot to their fame. Like, and I'm a fan of all of them. They're all one of my guys. I believe that they think people know what the elite is a lot more than they really do as a viewer, and that they understand what the elite is and that they've been following along. I think
they're watching the YouTube show at the same time and picking up on all these things. But it's like if you don't watch it and you just tune in, like you don't have that context.
It's not clear.
Yeah.
Like they're acting like we're the frat, like they're acting like we're in high school and the cool guys are already an established group of dudes. So it doesn't really matter like if you have an off day or not. Like you're already fucking Ted Gallagher or whatever, like the quarterback or whatever it is. But like they need to be proving themselves every day. And to like some of these guys' credits, especially Cody, he was doing that for a while. Right. But then every once in a while being like, I'm also in the elite. And you're like, wait, you're in something called the elite. What is that? It's not clear.
Right.
They don't have an office in the back. It's not like the elite logo is not like, and they all don't dress uniformly. Like the elite should look closer to what like the Hurt Business looks like. You know what I mean?
Right.
To like establish what it is. So anyway, it's a roundabout way to say that Jim Cornette actually had some good points, but also I'll always think he's a jabroni for being narrow minded. I'll always hate that. Anthony King, a guy who I don't think he would, I think he would be surprised I say this, but I consider him like one of my mentors or whatever in a way, indirectly, because he was the artistic director of the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater when I was coming up. He's the one who cast me originally, would give me feedback and stuff, you know. He had this thing where he said, I always repeat it. It's always stuck with me. He's like, I have strong opinions held loosely. And that's how I do it. Like, I can't host this podcast without being like, here's what I think. But I'm always open to hearing what other people think, almost to a fault where Aaron knows I respond to way too many people and I respond to way too much bullshit to the point where I sent her a text chain I had with someone where I shut it down because I was like, I normally get into it with people because I want to hear from people. I like speaking to people, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, it's like that whole adage of like, you know, don't talk about religion or politics. And I think that like, it's I love to talk about religion and politics because I do have strong opinions and I do believe in those opinions, but I'm also above all open to having my mind changed. And I think people who don't want to talk at all, you know, you can't talk about this stuff. You can't talk about what wrestling could be. It's because you're coming from a place of like, I have strong opinions and I am not capable of having my mind changed. And so it's going to become uncomfortable because I'm going to become combative because I'm never going to change my mind.
Right. This week we had, oh, I forgot to look up all the names of the members of Retribution, but I know one of them is called Slapjack, right?
T-Bar, Mace, Slapjack.
Are we recording? Are we on air?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
I said Aaron's sitting down, so I'll start.
Yeah. So someone posted in our Facebook group, we should do this. It's find your Retribution name.
We have the same one, right?
Yeah, Newman and I share a birthday. So based on our date of the month, October, right, and the day that we were born, ooh, our Retribution name is Loco Blade.
Well, you know, Dan, this is making me like Retribution more, by the
Dan,
way, immediately.
What's up? You were born February.
January 21st.
January 21st. Okay.
Typical Dan, Capricorn.
Dan is Punching Playa.
Punching Playa. Oh, man, you guys.
We've got Muscle Blade Squared and Punching Playa.
Yeah. Do you guys notice I've really figured out he's the soundboard finally.
I'm really glad you added someone you idolize.
Oh, man. Wait, I forgot to mention our sponsor.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
I always thought that was so funny.
What's their mascot?
Southern New Hampshire University. So Retribution came out this week with a brand new look, kicking off the show. I just want to point out that just last week, the episode was entitled, like, Return of the Main Roster. And boy, oh boy, did Vince try as hard as he can to make stuff not work. Now, I think actually some of it is so strong that everything was working, but man, some really poor choices here. Retribution came out. They were wearing ski masks before. Now they came out. They did the thing, an extremely tired gimmick of messing with the intro of the show. Mm-hmm. Right. But then, like, you don't see any of them in the tech booth. The storytelling of that element of what's going on, them taking over the show, is so controlled that it's like downright stupid. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's four kids straight up done for kids. Now, you can make the argument, and I saw someone make the argument that wrestling is for kids. So blah, blah, blah. Again, I throw out that argument. I'm here wearing merch. Kid merch, like an idiot. This is literally the same one the kids wear. It's adjustable. It's one size fits all. Roman Reigns memorabilia vest. But I throw that out. I think kids watch Game of Thrones. Like, kids watch good shit. Kids like good stuff. You know, you tell kids what's good. I'm talking about little kids, whatever. But like, by the time I was like 7 or 8, I liked good shit already. You know, so I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but okay. And wrestling can be good in that way, okay? Randy Orton's cool for kids and adults. So so I think there's a good way to find that
balance. It's like Flintstone vitamins.
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're still tasty at this age. Mm-hmm. But, okay, but Retribution, they came out with these they're very controlled. It's like clearly you feel by watching it that it's like segment one, Retribution, then they'll come back segment six, right? Like, it feels very right. Formulaic, where last week it did not feel like that. But anyway, they came out with new masks, and these masks were – let's just talk straight up about the masks. These masks were basically like a combination of like Bane masks and dark – and like a little Ninja Mad Turtles. Max vibe. The whole thing's like that classic, very tired, post-apocalyptic – thing. It goes to Newman. What do you say? There's the spooky boys and the
spooky boys and bikers.
Yeah, like,
and they are clearly a biker oriented group, and they're trying to play spooky, and so it does not work and will not work.
And the women
never
had
will.
like low key like Wakanda style face paint too.
For me, the big lesson here, and so I hear the word disappointing being used. Oh, this is disappointing. Here's the lesson for everybody. It's not disappointing to me. No. You know why? expectations were never high enough. Right. Yeah. My expectations were never set high enough for me to be disappointed. This is exactly on track with what I predicted. And
I said last week that I thought they did something really smart, which was remove the reveal. Right.
Right.
Which was like they basically said we were at the performance center, and what they did is they slowly took off the masks a little bit. So you're like, we know you know it's Dijakovic. We know you know it's Dio Madden. We know you know it's Mia Yim. Like, we know you know that, but that's not what this is about. This is about their message. Right. That was really slick and smart. But then this week, they made them just part of the roster, which is just.
They have a contract.
They have a contract, meaning they sat down and all five of them signed the contract, but now they're upset with them for being part of this company while now being on the payroll?
Yeah.
What? It's like, what?
Why add that they signed a contract when their whole message is we want to destroy the WWE? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And plus, it's like, these are people, like, who cares? Like, for me, Retribution had a mystique when there was, like, rumors it might be someone cool who's under the mask. But as soon as you brightened that photo and realized it was just like NXT rejects, it's like then who gives a shit at all?
Yeah, and their first promo they let happen in ring, like their first like big sanctioned promo and they signed was Mia Yim, who's not good on the microphone, in her like regular voice, just not at all threatening at all. Mia Yim, just by herself, not in that mask, is tougher looking and sounding than this outfit. Now, I don't even care that the outfits are kind of stupid. It doesn't really matter to me. It's more just like it's just like a creative mess, like for no reason. Why why are these wrestlers able to sign but not reveal what their stories are? Like, how are they fucked over by this company? Like, what happened?
Why did they sign a contract?
Dijakovic had like title shot after title shot in NXT. And my biggest gripe is exactly where I'm getting to, is this disconnect between NXT and the main roster. Like, we don't watch both. Like,
right.
Like, when you want to assume we watch both, which is like when Adam Cole comes up, and then it's one of their highest rated SmackDowns, right?
Right.
Then they go, oh, you know what's up. But now we're supposed to just assume, like, no one knows who Dio Madden was, the guy who we watched Brock Lesnar slam him through the table. This is not the same thing as them tossing out the fact that, like, the Eddie, Rey Mysterio, Dominic dad storyline. Like, that's fine. That's 20 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. We get it. And they did even acknowledge it. I'm not nitpicky in that way. Like, I get it. They're doing a different storyline. And it's almost like an homage to that. I'm fine with that. But, like, and actually didn't really contradict any of that either. But like this is just like, what? Like, Vince and Triple H fucking work together. You got two shows, you know?
Right.
Yeah. The irony too of like your gimmick at first being like, you know, we're from this, we've been promised all this stuff and it's never come to fruition. And you are the product of a beep, bop, bop, whatever. Right. Uh-huh. And then the irony behind the scenes of now, like, you are literally what you're talking about. You are these, like, you're this, like, nonsense gimmick, sideshow fucking, like, what the fuck is even happening to get all Jim Cornette? It's like, what is this supposed to be? So now they are literally WWE superstars who have been completely changed from NXT into some laughable, like, mess.
Right. Now, that look, I'm trying to be like a little, well, you know, a little, this is not positive. I've said this, I repeat this every single week about the structure of the show. You had Adam Pearce come out and be like the guy who's like, listen, I need help with this Retribution. We don't see him at all this week, which is actually okay because he gave the Hurt Business the thumbs up to deal with them. But who signed them? Who gave them last week? There was a bounty out for them. And then, and even just
now they're employees. The line,
which is that, like, you know what? If we sign these guys, we can legally beat them up. Fine. Get that line in there. And if it did come in from the announcers, that's not enough. I watch enough wrestling. It's not a throwaway line from the announcers, which a lot of times are just lines they throw in here and there, is not enough to tell the story. You know, it has to be told extremely clear. So is that why they signed them? So there's five of them. There's a core group of them, but there's a lot more of them. And they've all been guys who've been shit on by the – went to the Performance Center for false promises, except that the ones that we know who they are, all people have had title shots and were all like kind of successful in the company.
Right.
So they're not even going to bother to be like Mia Yim being like, I was promised in my contract that I would have four title shots by now. Like none of that. And then also without Vince, this is – unfortunately, this is really tricky storytelling to do. You know, because what they're doing is acknowledging the dirt sheets. They're acknowledging like they're doing a really cool thing of being like they're acknowledging like what the gripe people have with WWE is that how like they bury talent, right? They underutilize, right? But that's all works because we have this work shoot relationship, knowing that Vince, we all know for better or for worse that Vince runs literally everything. So without someone who's a proper spokesperson for Vince, like he needs a Kayleigh McEnany or whatever. Like without that as a core centerpiece of the show, that's not an optional character for this show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is like if Game of Thrones had no throne. You know, like,
just game.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, it just makes the show like inherently a mess because they're yelling at no one. So they signed contracts by who? So it makes the show stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like we're supposed to believe that they sat in a in the Money in the Bank conference room and executed a contract with like their lawyers. Like, what does that even entail? Like,
yeah, and AEW is really good at showing that stuff.
Right.
Right.
You know, they're good at showing that stuff. And the way they structure their show, you don't need Tony Khan, really. So, like, because you have these managers, and the managers get together, and they have lawyers, and the management role in AEW is extremely clear and consistent across the whole show. Like, most big talent on the show have a clear manager. You know, like Jake the Snake, Arn Anderson, and they're all, like, veteran talents. Even they put Matt Hardy, who was an active wrestler, with Private Party. Like, they're like, hey, you need someone to help you navigate in here. And they can talk, and you'll buy that structure. So, anyway, not to mention they just looked really fucking stupid.
They looked ridiculous. And their names are so – I mean, the three guys, it's like Slapjack.
Right.
Slapjack, T-Bar.
What is a T-Bar?
I imagine like construction, like a steel T-bar is the thing that
for like putting
up
a fence in, right? Like something like a, yeah.
Right. Okay. Now that all being said, the end of Raw when they're all fighting was cool.
When the Raw roster emerged from the locker room.
To see Drew run in as the champ and like think this is his responsibility. Again, it's a structure thing for the show that Drew's like, nah, fuck these guys. But it is weird that now they're signed and have actual like logos and the Titantron and blah blah blah. Like why not have them? I mean, the idea we had last week is so good that, like, they take over the Thunderdome spots. They have their own viewers. Like, you know what I mean? But there's so much – like, this show is so technical right now. Why not have one of them who's, like, a little geek and is their computer guy? Like, why half-ass it all? They got so many people there. Not only that, every writer is like an actor on the show. It's non-union. They do whatever the fuck they want over there. It's so carny, right? They don't even shut down for COVID. Whatever. Why be lazy with the storytelling? I don't get it.
I think they had one idea for it when it happened, when it first launched.
Right.
Everybody got 4 miles ahead of it and they panicked and then they just turned it into something else, and then every time they turn it into something else, everyone's already ahead of it, and now we're seeing this like fractalized dumbassery of like of whatever this is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's headed for like nothing because I read a rumor that they signed CM Punk. It was the most jabroni of sources. It was the dirtiest of sheets, the filthiest of sheets. Yet to be clean, and it was the dirtiest of sheets. But if CM Punk signed, there's no chance he would say I'll be part of that gimmick. No chance.
Hell no.
Ship has sailed. But man,
unless he comes in and is like, he would have to be like, look at you. You came in trying to take this machine down, and look what they've done to you. They put this mask on you. They call you Mace. You've now become the thing that you thought you were right. fighting against. And you get in early and you go, no, we're gonna stop this. You're going to rebel against this. And I'm going to be in charge. And I'm going to make sure that, you know, but, you know, rather than Slappy Jack being your fucking, like.
Oh, yeah, Flappy Jappy and, yeah. Okay, so whatever. We've said enough about that. All right, in actual positive, there was a lot of positive stuff. I said I think the shows were still I enjoyed watching them. I want to give a major props. If Tulo is listening, you'll love this. I think Sasha Banks cut a great promo. I thought it was her best work I'd seen, like by far. Yeah. Like a crying in the back promo. Her acting was pretty fucking good. It felt totally real, felt like real work shoot, real feelings she would have if Bailey turned on her. Like everything felt like real stuff they do, which is they like really, like both of them like really bask in their accomplishment glory. And I thought Bailey beat her up. I didn't see that coming because I thought it was taped. And so I thought that was really great and got me juiced to see where they go with it. And I think also, based on what I was saying last week, I think they're primed to have Sasha be so emotional that she fucking loses. Like that, yeah. Like she will, because she's like crying and Bailey's fucking focused. So that'll be really good, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I have to give credit where it's due. It was obviously the best acting that I've seen her do to date. Haven't seen Mandalorian season 2 yet. Maybe that's, you know, she stepped her game up, but she's, you know.
Actually, fun fact, I have a little clip of Sasha from Mandalorian 2.
They put out exclusive? They put out,
yeah. Here's her. This is her line in the show.
Whoa!
That's what do you think?
Newman's face, you guys have to see it.
It's
trigger
Triple
warning.
H has a review of it.
Someone you idolize.
You know, it's, we know he takes a lot of response for. Actually, Seth Rollins actually weighed in.
Oh, good for you!
I'll tell you, if I was like a fucking Al Qaeda member in Guantanamo Bay, and they played that fucking Becky Lynch cover, I'm spilling the beams.
Sing like
the beans.
A canary.
I'm like, here's the fucking locations of all our fucking caves. Here's everything.
Just play it on loop to torture you.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be on loop. It would be the first 10 seconds. I'm like, I give up. That's it. This is where this is where Bin Laden is. It's over.
Did you hear when they go like, she's a last kicker? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, the ad libs. Yeah. Embarrassing.
Whatever. I'm sure they've done some other good ones. This was a misfire for these guys.
Some other good ones.
Jabroni twins or whatever they're called.
Nope.
all right. Here's the deal. Another thing. And then I'll go through this all quick so we can just get into the predictions. But Seth Rollins and Dominic. I mean, this feud just stays hot. I mean, what's going on? I mean, this week they started bringing Ray's daughter into it, and I literally laughed out loud when Seth was like, "The results are in. You're not the father." And
he
I was like,
"This picture of Maury to his Instagram page."
Yeah. And I was hoping I was fingers crossed that like he was like, "I'm Dominic's father." Like, I was fucking hoping if he's pushing that, just being like, God. I'm Dominic's father. Yeah. Like, that's
so- I had him when I was 13 or whatever the fucking age difference is. 10.
Oh, man. You can see Rey's Mysterio's daughter, what's her name, Aaliyah? She's just cracking up the whole time. Like, she's clearly not even interested in the fucking business at all. And she's probably like a speech pathologist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's just there like
an endocrinologist.
Well, she's 19, so she's probably in college or whatever, but like
right.
Because they said her age. And they but like she's there and she's just like Seth was cutting a promo and she just when they're like, I have the results right here, and she starts cracking
How
up.
Could you not?
Oh, she made me think she was so cool. I'm trying to hang out with Aaliyah Mysterio. She seems like a cool person.
You have to go through Buddy Murphy first.
Oh, yeah. What were they doing with that?
I don't know. I ship it, though.
Was he, like, macking it to her, or was he, like, just, like,
I think that she, like, kind of, like, showed him like she was caring towards him when he was down, and then it happened again last night.
Because he's a man, he took any positive attention from a woman as being romantic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh God, that's so funny. I just want to say this because I always give Roman this shit, but they really do like work really hard on Seth's writing. Like Seth gets such good writing in WWE. You know, I mean, right now, Aleister Black is wearing like a makeshift eye patch, and like coming out and just beating up KO for no reason. And like Seth gets all this like awesome segments. You know, I mean, that he has completely earned it and deserves it and knocks it out of the park. But like sometimes you look at WWE, you're like, ooh, some of these guys, they really try when they're writing on some of these guys. You know,
right.
Nikki Cross also great promo with Alexa Bliss. It was her best I'd seen her. I was like, oh, this is cool. Good for her. She had set up she's gonna beat up Bayley, and then Alexa started talking about how she's changing, which I be honest, I didn't like Alexa acknowledging her shift. I feel like
she doesn't understand it.
I do though like that we're getting something that we don't always get, but it has been happening in the last few weeks on Raw, which is something we talked about, which is like these storylines are affecting like other storylines and they're being acknowledged in conversations in relation to like another. So I do like that they had that conversation because it's, you know, we don't always get it. And it's, I think, important to have some sort of continuity through all these storylines.
Right. Like Nikki could have easily been on a Moment of Bliss and just not acknowledged the Mr. Abigail, like it never happened.
Yeah.
For time.
Oh, and Lacey Evans' laugh. I'm sorry, but Newman sent a clip to our group text thread with Lacey Evans' laugh, and it.
I loved it. She did like an old school penguin, right?
She did it twice.
It's a choice. Yeah.
So much more interesting when they're just like, I'm a Marine, Lacey.
Right.
Yeah. Like, especially in this climate, like, you know, so it's like, we don't need the like America heat right now. Like, right. You know,
right.
So I just think Lacey, she's funny and good at it. I don't think they should call her sassy. I don't think that's the right adjective. But her being like calling people nasties, I always
so funny.
It's so funny.
So funny.
She really made a couple of nasties is so funny.
She's really smooth on the mic too. Yeah. Like she's good.
And we're getting some kind of Carmella rebrand. And just shout out to Carmella who hit me up on Instagram the other day.
Oh yeah. Big props for that.
Slid into your PMs, your public messages.
She slid into my PMs. She was looking to hang. I had to break the news to her. I'm married and Tulo didn't like it. Anyway, all right. So the last thing I want to say is that clearly Vince is, we all know how Vince works. He's clearly trying to get that Money in the Bank briefcase away from Otis.
Oh my God. Poor Otis.
He's clearly going to give it to either Miz or Hennigan, or they're going to fight over it because he's like, I can't have this guy catch it. I wanted to give one little props to Otis, though. Otis, he had his shirt off in the back, and we see how hard the guy works out. He is high body fat. He is an extremely heavy guy, but he isn't fucking – he is jacked and fucking strong as shit.
Yeah. So I watch
on his
Instagram
stories, right? Like he's always
he works out with Gable, eating
a lot of food or working out.
Yeah, I love watching him and Gable work out too because of the way they like spot each other. Gable will, they both use the same voice, so like Gable is also like, "Come on, baby, yep, one more." Like he's like, yeah, "It's the best, it's the best."
You mean Shorty G?
Oh, God,
just cut that shit out. I put Gable's got to go back to NXT and just be the champ or start wrestling Finn. The guy, Gable is so fucking talented. Yeah. And like, you know, there's this jabron zone of WWE. It's like you get into the full on like the Vegas tourist like trap or like, you know what I mean? Like that, like, you know what I mean? That's like that, like, oh, like when you go to see like, if you go to see like Cirque du Soleil, they're like, oh, we put like clowns in between each thing. And you're like, oh, these clowns suck. Just show me the people who like are talented.
Show me Zoomanity.
Yeah. Right? So you're like,
I want to go to Vegas.
Some of these wrestlers get put in that fucking like that make the kids laugh mode. And I feel so fucking bad. And they keep putting Miz back in that zone. And it's so annoying. Yeah. Miz is out there in his undies. You're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway. Anyway. All right. Well, let's get into our predictions. Right now, by the way, you guys know this. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Was that Aleister Black? It sounded like the door opening.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. So all right. So we've been doing on the podcast. Sorry, I got this thing I was looking at. All right, we got on the podcast. I'm back. We got a. We've been doing a long running merch. Well, I don't know, Aaron. How do we describe this?
It's the T-shirt derby. So
the T-shirt derby.
Yeah, we issue our predictions on air for a pay-per-view, and then the person who wins gets the most right, gets a piece of merch from our fellow hosts here. And I won one PPV, and then Dan and I tied, but he won the last one with the tiebreaker, which was will Roman wear a vest or not, a shirt covering or not.
Yeah.
So we're 1-1. So we're going to do our predictions again here for Clash of Champions.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. Anyway, so I just gotta bring up the card. Oh, Aaron,
the card.
Okay, you want to go through the card? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it from the top. All right, for the Raw Women's Championship, we have Asuka versus Zelina Vega. Dan,
is that a P that indicates the match will take place on the pre-show? Nah, there's no way that'll be a pre-show match, right? That's probably
why wouldn't it be
possible? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It has two women of color. Of course, they're going to open. They're going to be pre-show.
I'll choose Asuka.
I'm going to choose Asuka also.
Yeah. It's also Newman. Same.
Yeah.
Lock it
and
in.
And I also, I have Nick Tulo's predictions here because he's also a member of the T-shirt derby and he also picked Asuka. Okay. Next, Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews for the United States Championship. I'm going to pick Lashley.
To retain, right?
Lashley retain, I'll also choose Lashley. Yeah. I doubt they're giving that back to Paul Cruz.
Same.
Especially because he's not in the Hurt Business, which is an important part of the show.
Let's see. Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza for the Raw Tag Team Championship titles.
I'm going to actually go Andrade and Garza. I think that they're going to try to give them some momentum now that they've taken Zelina away.
Yeah. I chose them last time and they didn't win.
Yeah.
So I feel a little burned, but I'm also going to go Andrade Garza. I think Street Profits are, I don't know. I don't think they're really working, to be honest.
I'm going to go Street Profits.
Okay.
Just to mix things up a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Next. We have a triple threat ladder match.
Oh, this is awesome. I didn't know this was a ladder match.
Yes. Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn. Nick Tulo picked Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with enjoy the show. I'm going to pick Jeff Hardy just for laughs.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
I'll also choose Jeff Hardy. I think.
Yeah, you know what? Same.
Fun fact, Jeff Hardy just signed a big new contract. So I doubt they're going to have
him drop
it.
Enjoy the show.
And he seems to be pretty positive at WWE. Like, he's been saying stuff like, you know, he wants to retire. He wants to bring his Willow character there. So he doesn't seem to be doing the AEW jump because his brother's over there. Like, seems to be he's happy. He looks and wants to retire in WWE. And WWE is probably, you know, they seem to be pretty tolerant of his addiction issues, you know? I mean, they rip on it in the storyline, but they also don't fire him. you know? So they seem to be, you know, so I think like for him, that's probably a good situation, you know? That's, I don't know, I'm just speculating for my pick of a t-shirt. I'm talking about a man's addiction to justify my t-shirt pick. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And next up, we have the match we're all just dying to see for the SmackDown Tag Titles, Cesaro and Shinsuke versus Lucha House Party.
Wow. Can you, two guys like Cesaro and Shinsuke are mighty. The mighty have fallen.
I have Cesaro and Shinsuke.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
I'm wondering
if they just get Lucha House Party are back. They were gone for the whole summer.
Right.
Nick Tullo also picked Cesaro and Shinsuke.
Because it's the obvious choice, right? But
a little bit.
if we apply McMahon's razor, does it still shake out that way? I'm going to go Lucha House Party.
I love that. LHP. Okay. All right. Next, for the Raw Women's Raw Tag, the tag titles, the women's tag titles, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus the Riot Squad.
I mean, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, right? Riot Squad. I mean, I guess I think it's too new into it, but they do seem interested in the Riot Squad. You know,
I'm going Riot Squad.
I am
Same.
Too, because I like Liv Morgan. So
yeah,
I also think there's going to be a couple of like swerve finishes, in terms of like who wins.
That's why I don't like about my picks right now, because my picks are all pretty down the line. You know what I mean?
If this was SummerSlam or something, then I might have picked differently. But it's like specifically about like, oh, these are like class of champions. So I think there's going to be a couple switches.
Yeah,
but
what do you got?
Just to give a little bit of props in terms of the show being called Clash of Champions, and this Hardy AJ Styles Sammy's match feels like a Clash of Champions. You know,
yeah,
that match could have been called the Clash of Champions. So I think that's pretty cool. Which match is it? What am I talking about?
Did you pick Nia and
Shayna? Yeah, Nia and Shayna, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley or Nikki Cross?
Bayley. Yeah, I'll choose Bayley to win. I mean, there's a chance that Nikki wins by DQ for Sasha coming in, right?
Yeah, but do we count DQ? Is it like just straight up?
Yeah, it's whoever
wins,
right? Yeah, it's whoever wins.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick Nikki Cross just to be different.
I'm gonna choose Nikki Cross also, just because not to be different, but because I'm gonna go like a DQ win. Because this is just, you know.
Nick Tua also picked Bayley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, for the Universal Title, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso.
Yeah, that'll be Roman Reigns for me.
It's gonna be Roro.
Yeah. Same.
We got Roros across the board.
Actually, the main event is kind of tough, I think.
Yeah.
I also think that the tiebreaker question should still be, will Roman come out with a vest on?
That is true, because this might not be where he does it, and he could just do a classic show up and win. Is Jey Uso the guy to unleash the physique on? You know?
No.
I mean, it's a guy he probably thinks he could easily beat. If I'm Roman, I'd probably come out in the T, right?
Well, let's do the tiebreaker now while we're talking about the match. Dan, you say vest or no vest?
No, I think he's going to come out in the T-shirt again.
Well, covered or uncovered?
Covered. I'm
shirts
covered.
Or skins.
Yeah. I'm going to go covered, even though he said shirtless. I think this is not the moment.
Newman, how about you?
I mean, yeah, I think it's covered.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick skin. I'm optimistic. All right. And we'll get Tua's input on that later. Okay, and finally, Drew McIntyre versus Randall Keith Orton.
It's an ambulance match.
Oh,
which
sorry.
I think
in
means you have to lock him in an ambulance
match.
And it has to drive away, right? That's what you
right.
Right?
Who's driving?
I'm going McIntyre.
Keep in mind, Randy lost to McIntyre clean at SummerSlam. Randy lost clean to Keith on whatever that pay per view was, the one right after Payback, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm gonna pick
Randy. I just don't think Randy getting the belt is a Clash of Champions moment. I think it's a WrestleMania moment, or it's a bigger moment than this like middling pay-per-view.
Right. Okay, but also fun fact about Randy is that he's the 14-time champion, so if they're trying to get him up to 16, you know what I mean?
That's true.
If they're trying to increase the numbers quicker for some kind of Cena thing, just saying.
Newman's got Drew.
Yeah.
I got Randy. Dan?
I'm going to choose... Because there's also the thing that like Edge might come back, right? And then
you're right.
And then that would keep it on Drew, and they let Drew keep it through SummerSlam. So what do we gain from Randy winning the title right now? Like, what do we gain from that? I'm not exactly sure.
Except, I mean, like, it is viewership. Right before the Slither launch. Like,
yeah, but
who's to say
that would only hurt Randy? Because that's a separate thing from the company. Uh-huh.
Third party.
I would say, and then we're going into Rumble season. Like, not yet. We're not close. Survivor Series. So that'll give us, if we do have, that would give us Roman. Okay, so that's interesting. Roman McIntyre and Roman's heel. So that's interesting. Drew Roman is really, really interesting. Drew Roman Finn is also pretty interesting if they throw Finn in there too, because now they have a guy who they could do that. Randy Roman is also cool, but I'm going to say Drew retains.
Yeah. Right, I like it.
I'm going to say
like
Drew retains. Drew win. I'm going to say Drew win.
Yeah. All right, well, we're locked in, folks. We'll let you know next
Should we lock
week.
It
in? Yeah, lock it in.
Wow, it's locked in. All right, everybody. We'll see. Remember, we talked about it all, but we won't really know until these champions actually, many would say, clash. Keep in mind, Sunday morning, I'll try to set it for midnight on a midnight Pacific Standard Time, Saturday. I'll put out the RKO special, me and Shebs ranking RKOs, and that'll come out on Sunday for patrons at all patrons levels. So you got to be a patron at literally any level, and you get it. If you're a patron for $2 a month, you get it. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling, support the podcast. We'll talk about more. We'll have you unlock more special episodes, but that'll be coming out. And also remember to give this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and check out the Cow Movie Club on Patreon, and also check out Friday morning. We'll talk about NXT and AEW this week. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening to the show, and keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Whoa.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when